Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say, as always, it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. And all listen. Listen, folks, this message today is going to be about the second coming of Christ. We're going to glean some things. We're going to run over some information that we already know. We're going to be reminded about some things. Peter said, look, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I want to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. So let me give you my text. Even before Debbie sings, and I do that on occasion, it's not very common, but it's not all that rare. I want to talk to you. This is just a reminder. You know what a reminder is, don't you? It's something that reminds you of something. I've got an app that's a reminder on my phone, and it just provokes me. That's all it does. It just puts a thought in my mind. Hey, what you've already talked about, here it is. So that's what I'm going to do today. By the grace of God, I've opened my Bible to the book of John chapter 14, and I'll talk to you about some things that picture the second coming of Christ. But before I do that, Debbie's going to tell you, you need to get ready. All right, I'll be back in just a moment or two and share the message God has given to me.
Trumpet, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away.
Folks, I believe that's going to happen soon. I really do. I believe the second coming of Christ. Thank God I'm living for it. I'm looking for it. I'm learning about it. And I want to tell you, you need to get ready, just exactly what Debbie sang. You need to get ready. If you don't know your sins are under the blood, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, friend, if you don't know that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you need to get ready. Say, why, preacher? Because Jesus said this in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 3, and I'm just going to get a part of that, a phrase out of that. I will come again. He said that, friend, after he said he was going away to prepare a place for those who trust him, who are followers of him, who are disciples of him, who are learners of him according to the word of God. And listen. Listen, it doesn't matter what the mockers and the scoffers say. It doesn't matter what the deniers and the naysayers say. Jesus, bless God, is coming again. And you and I need to be ready. You and I, by the grace of God, can be ready for that happening. Listen, friend, the Word of God is replete with references to the second coming of Christ. Let me just give you a couple of ideas here. And again, I'm just using it. Look, this is a reminder. That's what this is all about. This is a reminder. You say, preacher, we don't need to be reminded about the second coming of Christ. Well, let me ask you something. Why did Jesus then institute the Lord's Supper? Why did He tell us that every time that we break bread and drink the wine, that unleavened bread and unfermented grape juice, juice of the vine, why did He tell us to remember the Lord, the Lord's coming? Look back to the cross and look forward to His coming again. Friend, I'll tell you, we've got a tendency to forget, and it looks like our world is forgetting about God. And the sad part of it is, look like the church is. You know, we're living in the Laodicean church age. Believe that with all of my heart. The book of Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, where we find Jesus Christ, the one who purchased the church with His own blood, the one who suffered and died at a place called Calvary, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, the one who the Word of God refers to as the head of the church, the one John said he saw in the Revelation walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, He's on the outside of most churches in this day, friend, of apostasy, in this day of denial, in this day, friend, listen, of doing your own thing. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon, and bless God, it must be that way. In the New Testament alone, 260 chapters in the New Testament. And out of those 260 chapters, there are 318 references to the second coming of Christ. And did you know, friend, that then in the Old Testament, there are at least 300 and more than that, I believe, not many more, but more than that, references to the first coming of Christ. But oh, listen, friend, there's a whole lot more to the second. Isn't that amazing? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, if I don't know anything, and I know I don't know a lot, I know Jesus, I know what Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, I know this, bless God, He that came the first time through a virgin's womb will come the second time, thank God. He'll come to snatch His church away, and then after a short period of time of about 7 years in the tribulation, He'll return, bless God, in His glory, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. He'll come to rule and He'll come to reign. He won't come the second time as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but thank God, He'll come as King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll come, bless God, not to save, but listen, to judge. He came the first time to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come the first time to condemn. But I'll tell you, the next time that He comes, it's going to be different, is it not? It's going to be different. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God never teaches the church about signs for the coming of Christ, but it does talk about signs of the coming kingdom and Him sitting upon His throne. But can I tell you something, friend? There's a lot of indication in the world. There's a lot of indication in the church, according to the Word of God, that there are characteristics that are abundant, that are abounding. Listen, everywhere we look, on that point to the soon, the sure, the certain, the sudden return of Jesus Christ. Oh, look, friend, listen, today this message is just like walking through a garden that has produced fruit everywhere. I don't have to look deep to find something. All I've got to do is decide what I do not want to say. But can I tell you, one of the greatest signs of the second coming of Christ is, friend, the emergence, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And that happened in 1948. In 1967, the recapturing by the Israelis of the city of Jerusalem, which is the capital of that great nation. And I'm glad President Trump, thank God, recognizes it as such, put our embassy there. It should have been done a long time ago. Oh, friend, listen, Jerusalem isn't a Muslim city. Israel isn't a Muslim land. Bless God, it belongs to God because God deeded it to Abraham and his seed many, many, many years ago. You say, preacher, do you believe in Zionism? Thank God, I sure do. Can I tell you what? There will be another temple built. There will be, bless God, the throne of David set there where Jesus Himself will sit and rule the nations with a rod of iron. But can I go on? Can I go on? Listen, friend, the Bible tells us that in the last days, spiritual ignorance will run high. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, they knew not until the flood came. The Bible tells us of this. They are willingly ignorant. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, bless God, there's a lot of spiritual ignorance when there is available on every hand, every hour of the day, more knowledge than man has ever had access to. And yet, friend, what we need is the truth. What we need is wisdom, the ability to do the right things with truth. But listen, in the day of Noah, which was a day of gross apostasy, in the day of Noah, friend, when there was worldwide, listen to this now, terrorism in a world, bless God, that was unconcerned about eternal things as Noah's day were. Jesus said, listen, they were ignorant. They knew not until the flood came. And yet they could have known. And yet, friend, they should have known. Ah, listen, friend. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. He even said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Can I tell you, I could pick a lot of things out there, but I'm only going to mention two. Look, friend, it was the same as it was in Noah's day. They had no concern about eternal issues. They had no concern about things that were of eternal value. All they thought was about here and now, buying and selling, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Oh, it was to satisfy. It was an effort designed to satisfy the immediate lust of the flesh versus the needs of the soul. And oh, it was a perverted. It was a perverted society. Now, whether people like to admit it or not, the Bible stands, always has stood, will continue to stand against sodomy. Friend, listen, it's unnatural according to the Word of God. And may I say this, my rule of faith and practice is the Word of God. It's not what, listen, it's not what the society says. It's not popular opinion. I'm just as much against drunkenness as I am sodomy, pornography, fornication, adultery, all of these things. But let me tell you something, friend. Hey, listen, the last days are going to look like Noah day and Lot days, and it looks a lot like that in our day. But oh, listen, it'll be a day of denial. I'm turning really quick, and there's so many things that I could say, maybe need to say. I can't say everything I want to. But I am going to read 8 verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Peter chapter 2. All 3 of these books, as well as the book of Jude, speaks about the latter days. Listen, friend. They speak about the latter days and some different issues and some different thought processes that will be a part of it. It proves and says said, fools, the characteristics of that day. And listen to what he said to Timothy, Paul did. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Now let me say this before I read these 18 characteristics of the last day, or 19 characteristics, I believe it is. Excuse me. Listen, they've always been around. I mean, you'll see them manifest in the world, but friend, listen, we've never seen an age where they're all manifest in the way that they are. And they're manifest, listen, they're manifest not just in the unregenerate man, but in those who claim to know Jesus, who, according to verse 5, has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Did you get all of that? Did you get all of that? There's so many things that I could say right here. So many thoughts, so many ideas that I could pinpoint and lift up that seem to me to indicate that the return of Jesus is all but imminent. Friend, it is imminent, but it may be immediate. And you know what you need to do? You need to get ready. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. Listen. The conditions of the last days, according to what I just read, they're going to center around a system of denials. Mankind is denying just about everything that God said. Do you hear me? Oh, friend, even those that profess God. There's a lot of people that want to have the name Christian, that they don't bear any fruit of a Christian. They don't have any character of a Christian. They want to hold on to two worlds. They want to bless God, name the name of Christ, while they live like the devil down here. The Bible clearly says, come ye out from among them, be ye a separate people, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. It uses verbiage like this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he said, and such were some of you. Now listen what I'm going to say. Christians, listen, still have a fallen nature in them. They sin on occasion, but oh, friend, they do not make sin a lifestyle. They don't practice sin. And bless God, God would never let them sin successfully. I like that, don't you? But we're living in that day when men deny God His power, deny God His place, deny God His preeminence and prominence, deny God, friend, to be who and what He is. You see, for the first chapter of Romans says that man in these last days, in the days when God would give man up to a reprobated mind to believe, to believe a lie, even He said, and be damned. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they've replaced the one true God with themselves. And that's where we're at in this Laodicean church age, which is, as I said in the beginning, got Jesus on the outside and man on the inside. You see, the church of the Laodiceans means a church of the people's rule, or church ruled by the people. It's what man wants in those churches. It's what man says in those churches. It's what man desires and designs in those churches. But the Word of God is replete with thus saith the Lord. He's written us a Bible of commandments, not suggestions, and we'd be better off to repent and go back to God than anything I know. Listen to the last days. Listen, the last days are going to center around a philosophy and around a system of denials. You know what they're going to do? They're going to have a denial of God, and they all look. People believe in God. They just don't believe in the one true God. They don't submit to God. They believe there is a God, but we're living in the day of the New Age uprising, where Oprah says that, hey, we're all gods. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you why. We may not believe in the one true God. We may reject His book, the Bible, and I'm talking about the King James Bible. But listen, friend, we're going to meet it in that day of judgment. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, are spirit and life. And He said, these are the words that will judge you in the last day. There's a denial of God. There's a denial of Christ. Isn't that something? They say today that He's not the only way to heaven, but He's just one way of many. But I'm telling you, He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. Bless God, there's no access to God according to John 14, except you go through the Father. He's the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. I'm telling you, He's the only mediator between God and men. He's the only way, friend, but yet men deny Him. They even deny His return. They mock it. They scoff it. They say, where is the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning. But Peter says of this, they are willingly ignorant. There's so much evidence that is abounding and available that points to the second return of Christ. Listen, it's really undeniable, and yet man do, according to what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, men will deny the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. We're in that day, bless God, of the apostasy, of that falling away, that denial of sound doctrine, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. They listen, friend, they turn away from what they know to be true to what they know to be not true, and that is the definition of apostasy. And they listen, they revel in it, they rejoice in it, and they're happy to be there. And there's not only a denial of sound doctrine, but there's a denial of the separated life that I just read in your hearing about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, friend, listen, you can't hold on to Christ and hold on to the world. Peter said, we're not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust. Hey, we're to be Christ-like. We're to be a part of the church that Jesus purchased with His blood. We're a called out assembly. We're to be separated. We're to be Christ-like. Hey, we're to be otherworld-mindly. Hey, friend, listen. Hey, listen, friend. We have too many people denying that there is to be a separated life for the believer. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And you know what? They're even denying a morality. Are they not? All that, listen, that Paul tells us they're forbidding to marry. I mean, veganism is going to be, I believe, a mark of the end time. I know witchcraft is, and the interest in Satanism. And look at sorcery, which is pharmakia, or drug use, drug abuse, friend. Hey, listen, people have changed the definition of morality. What is perverted and what is not. I mean, they've even tried in our generation to change the definition of marriage. But I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what man says. It matters what God says. You'll not stand before men in judgment. You'll stand before the man, Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. He'll judge us according to His expectation and not man's fallen desires. There's not only greater denial of the morality in America. Isn't that something? We live in a day when people call good evil and evil good. When they call perverted, bless God, legal. And when they say it's even a civil rights issue. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we parade things in our day that ought to be shamed, that ought to be repented of, and ought to be sought God for a help over. There's a denial of authority, is there not? There is a denial of authority of the Word of God, of the men who God put in leadership in the church. Isn't that amazing? There's a denial. Friend, we're eat up with denial in our day. Isn't that amazing? Oh, you don't have to look hard for it. We can see it, can we not? Can we not see what Paul told Timothy when he said that in these last days they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They won't let the power of the blood transform them. They won't let the power of the Word of God transform them. They won't let the power of the Spirit transform them. There is rebellion everywhere. There are little men shaking their fist in the face of God. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, you can do that all you want. You can do it all day if you choose, but I'll tell you, there'll be a day, and you'll wish you hadn't, there'll be a day that God will change your mind. Hey, this is just a reminder. Jesus is coming. We that are saved ought to live holy. We ought to be happy. We ought to look and long and learn until the day we see Him come. Until then. Until the next time, God bless.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.